Hello, everyone. Now it's time for our second podcast content focusing on product lifecycle and portfolio management. You can find the slides on my courses. Let's go directly to the slide number 3 of the second slide deck. Actually, this simplifies the product lifecycle if you both from the perspective of sales and profits. Everything starts with a loss. During the offering development stage, every company is incurring a loss, and after introduction, when the sales starts growing, the profits start improving gradually. Oftentimes, the profits get worse at the stage of introduction because of the marketing communications and promotional costs. And then, at some point of time, the offering becomes mature, and the demand for it peaks. Oftentimes at that point, the profits already start going down. There is more competition, there are more alternatives, the customers become more price sensitive, and finally, the sales start declining. At that point, you can still make a profit, especially if other competitors are also withdrawing from the market and in a way like compensating for the decrease in demand. Different offerings may have very different life cycles, and that is being illustrated on slide number 5. Some of the offerings are about style. Sometimes the demand goes up, then it goes slightly down in order to come back up again. Let's, for example, think about jeans. Every now and then, jeans are the thing to have, and sometimes jeans are definitely not so much of a current popular fashion. So in a way, but the style remains. There's always this kind of baseline demand, but at times it's more popular than others. The second graph is about fashion. Something goes up, the early adopters make it familiar to everyone, then the demand peaks, then it starts going down. And there may be no continuity. The difference between fashion and style is important. If it's about style, there will be always some kind of baseline demand. For a fashion, sometimes the whole demand dies after a period of, let's say, 2-3 years. Sometimes it's even more radical. Fads are something that come up very soon. Everyone is eager to buy the offering, but then the demand dies quite quickly. Let's think about, for example, Tamagotchis, the Japanese innovation of digital or electronic pets. It was an early version of mobile gaming apps. Everyone was speaking about them. It felt almost like everyone is buying them, and then suddenly no one was interested. Sometimes it's very difficult to foresee in advance whether the offering and the concept will be something that will be sustainable, like a style, something that will be more like a fashion, or is it just simply a fad? Something that comes on and goes off very quickly, and your time horizon for making any kind of healthy profit is extremely limited. Moving forward, on slide number 6, I'm illustrating how the competition works in the marketplace. The innovating firm oftentimes has a temporary monopoly, the only one being the only one in the marketplace having this offering. But over time, during the growth period, rivals step in. There are more competition coming in to the marketplace. And naturally, that is not only a bad thing, because at the stage of monopoly, the innovating firm is the only one covering the cost of educating the market. But at the stage of competition, there are multiple players all spending money on educating the end user, the customers. And by doing that, it might actually increase the size of the market so that also the innovating firm starts growing more rapidly and making a healthier profit. On slide number 7, we have been able to combine the 5 key aspects of product and offering innovation versus the marketplace. So at the first stage, at the stage of introduction, there is no competition or very little competition. Oftentimes the offering line is very simple. The pricing, oftentimes that is where we use the skimming strategy that will be later on discussed, you know, like high price for the customers who are really into it. And the promotion, the marketing communications, is more about informing and educating the market. And the distribution channel, the place, is pretty limited. When the market grows, it's more important to start stressing differentiation. What makes your offering different? More competition, the offering has more versions, and it's oftentimes about the market share, so the prices start going down. And in marketing communications, it is essential to highlight what makes your offering different from the rivals in a manner that is meaningful to the customers. The distribution channel also grows, and there is differentiation also across the distribution channels. At the stage of maturity, it is more about maintaining brand loyalty, working with the customers that know you, who like your offering, and how to build this kind of high levels of retention. Lots of competition already, everyone is in the marketplace. Now the offering is showcasing a full product line, lots of variations. And price is oftentimes about defending market share and maximizing profit. There is always a trade-off you need to make. And marketing communications, the promotion, is more about reminding the client, reminding the customer about the key elements of your offering and what makes it so strong. This is where oftentimes also the distribution is very intense, and there is a maximum number of outlets. Over time, there is this decline stage where actually it is time to harvest, and so for some players in the marketplace, it's time to leave the marketplace. Competition starts going down because some rivals decide that this is not anymore relevant to them. They leave the marketplace, they leave the category. Offering is oftentimes focusing mostly on bestsellers, the strongest products one can have. Pricing that takes lots of skill now. It's important to stay profitable. The demand goes down, the economies of scale and scope are not necessarily anymore there. But also because of the departure of many of the rivals, some of the supply also is being taken away, which means that there is some leeway for pricing. Marketing communications is at the minimal level. It's more about what needs to be done in order to slow down the decline of the market and the demand. But that's all. Oftentimes, actually, here you can sometimes see very high levels of profitability because the marketing communications and promotional costs can be minimized. And over time, the distribution channels get fewer and fewer. So in a way, because of the lack of demand, it's harder to maintain very high coverage. So this is the product life cycle or offering life cycle if you take a higher level perspective, not focusing only on one firm or one company, but the whole industry. And this is, to my mind, a very good illustration of the industry level offering life cycle. On slide number 8, we can see an simplification or an example of how to manage product and offering transitions. When the sales of the old offering starts going down, how to manage the transition to a new offering, new version. Sometimes it's easier. Oftentimes incremental changes are easier to manage. Sometimes moving to a new generation of the offering can be
trickier and riskier, and the downtime when actually sales go to a very low level might be longer. I think Microsoft is a good example of this. They have been pretty good at managing the incremental transitions in their product line, in the software offerings. But every time they have been introducing a so-called new generation operating system like Windows XP or Windows Vista, they have struggled, and it has been directly very visible in their top and bottom line. On slide number 9, in a way, this is a simplification of different approaches one can have. Nokia versus Apple, back to the times when Nokia was still actively operating with its own organization in the field of mobile phones. So this is a simplification, but this is to illustrate that for Apple, the choice they made was that they focus on certain lifestyle segments, and they are operating in multiple categories, from laptops to music portal to smartphones, watches, and so on and so on. For Nokia, in the old days, the choice was that they are going to stick to one category, one smartphone and tablet category, and try to serve very different lifestyle segments, from the poorest of the people in the world to the users of very advanced smartphones. Well, with the benefit of hindsight, we can easily see that that wasn't a winning strategy for them. Sometimes people find it easier to relate to a brand if they feel that the brand is standing for the values, the behaviors, and the lifestyle they find important.